In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do not be afraid. Early on the first day of the week, this day, Sunday, when the sun had risen, an angel spoke from within an empty tomb. The message he spoke was for the women who heard it that first day. The message the angel spoke is for you too, on this Easter Sunday. Do not be afraid, the angel says. They were afraid. They came to the garden that morning expecting death, familiar death. That's why they brought the spices for embalming the corpse. Spices that they realized they wouldn't even be able to use because of that huge immovable stone in the way. Today was going to be another crushing disappointment, another defeat, another day of grief and sorrow like so many they had gotten used to. Just a few days ago, everything was going so well. It was getting better even. Things were hard, yes, but life was finally going to be good. Jesus was making life good. You could see him at work. Then on a single dark Friday, in less than 24 hours, everything that they had dared to hope for in Jesus ended. They were afraid. We are afraid. I'm afraid. And now what? Now what, God? Looks like death has come and claimed another. And this world keeps on turning. Another day dawned, utterly indifferent to the fact that an innocent life is in the ground. How can things ever go back to how they were before? How could they ever get better? What more could God possibly do for us if Jesus has died? I know what death means, don't I? It means that Jesus has failed and his work is over. It means that Jesus will never speak another word, never work another miracle, never heal another body, never loose another tongue, never make eyes see and limbs dance, never embrace another child, never forgive another doomed sinner. Isn't that what death means? So what can you do now, God, now that Jesus has died? What's your answer to this pain, this grief, this death? You know what I'm looking for. You know what I mean. What's your answer to all the evil in this world that we can't escape? Jesus. It's still Jesus. You seek, the angel tells us. Do not be afraid. Do not give up hope in him. And who is Jesus that I should hope in him? The evils and death we face are very real. Jesus can't be just some guy, just a teacher, an encourager, uplifter, life coach. No, I need a God. And not just some God like the ones in myths and fables. I'm not looking for some distant divine being who's far off in the heavens, far away and insulated from pain and evil. And I'm not looking for one who comes down to earth just because he's bored, who puts on our humanity like a suit and peels it off and throws it away when he's had his fun. I need a real God. I need a true God. I need a God who comes close, who's willing to dive headfirst into all this mess, one who's not going to run away. Then you seek Jesus, the Nazarene, the angel says. Yes. Yes, I seek Jesus, the Nazarene. I need a real God. A God with not just empathy and compassion, I need a God who has humanity. I need a God who actually knows us and can be known by us. A God who has a family, like I do. A family history, like I do. Who has neighbors and a hometown, Nazareth. I need a God who knows work and struggle and hardship and tears. I need a God who can suffer. A God who weeps. A God who bleeds. I need a God who can die. You seek Jesus, the crucified one, the angel says. Yes, I seek Jesus, the crucified one. He knew the cross was coming with all its agony and horror. He told us the cross was coming. He told us that it was necessary. Necessary to be betrayed, to suffer, to die and be buried. Not just inevitable, like death is for us, necessary. Because while as a man he could die, he had no reason that he should die. Not in himself. He had all our humanity in himself, but none of our sin, none of our death. But to deal with that sin, that death, that's why he came. He knew what it would cost him. And still he walked into the Jordan to be baptized into our tears and sin and death to fulfill all righteousness in our humanity. He knows all our griefs and the evils we face. He knows us because he's carried us with him. He carried us into the wilderness, trusting his Father where we have not, to make our hearts right toward God. He carried us into crowds of pain to heal their bodies as he would heal our bodies. He carried us into the seat of shame to forgive and heal the sinner's soul. He carried us to the cross to heal our death by his own. He made our sin his own to be punished for it, to atone for it, not to satisfy justice as love demands, as we demand. He made our death his own so that he could make us his own. That cannot be undone. The cross cannot ever go away. It cannot ever be forgotten, be erased, or else all its good would be undone. Jesus must be forever the Nazarene. Jesus must forever be the crucified one. Jesus must forever bear its scars. Yes, that's the Jesus I need. That's the God I need. The God who died. Who died for me. And yet, if my God is dead, what hope could I have? If Jesus is dead, then death has still won. And God is not true to his word, and we cannot trust him. If he did not do as he promised to Jesus, then he cannot do anything good for me. If the cross has accomplished all that Jesus has said it would, that it erased sin, the root of all death, if the cross really did that, then Jesus cannot stay dead. So what's happened to Jesus? He has been raised. The angel says, he's been raised. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Yes, that's the Jesus I seek. Jesus, the crucified and resurrected and living one. Yes, Jesus died, but he did not fail. Because Jesus has actually died and has historically been raised as in and is in truth and reality still living, that changes everything. The light of Easter morning shines back into the darkness of Good Friday and exposes the cross for what it truly is. Exposes what it truly accomplished. Exposes who our God truly is. He's a God who loves us. We who were unlovable. He is a God who saves us from evil, who destroys evil and undoes its harm. He is a God who redeems our suffering, a God who bears scars. Just like Jesus' suffering, our suffering does not go away. It is not forgotten. It is not erased. It is redeemed. Yes, Easter reveals that God will end our suffering. And Easter reveals that the life of God and the love of God will force that suffering to do us good. He will not let us suffer in vain. He knows that suffering. He knows us. And he's alive with us to carry us through the suffering into the good that he will inevitably show us, the good that he shows us even now, the healing he has begun to give us even now. He has defeated every power that stood against us. What could possibly restrain him from giving us every good, even now? Yes, that's the God I seek. That's the God I need. That's the Jesus who I'm looking for. Where is he? I need him now. I need him desperately. Where is he? He's not here, the angel says. What? He's not here, the angel says. See the place where they laid him. Not here. Not as you would have expected. Not as you would have hoped. Oh. That's a familiar disappointment. Not here. That's confusing, disheartening. If he's alive, like he said he would be, like he is, then why is he not here? Why is he not here to do for us what he's done for others? I need him here. Why is he not here? He's not here as you would expect him to be. Because you expect too little. He's not here as you hoped him to be. Because your hope was too small. No. Jesus is not here to do what you thought you needed first. He's not here just to make things okay for now, just for today. Everything that Jesus has done, everything he shows, reveals to us a God who is not as we expect. Everything that Jesus has done, everything that Jesus gives us is always better than we hoped for. Jesus is here. As surely as he was with those first hearers of the angel's message, even though he was not where the mourners had laid him. Remember, the point of Jesus coming to us was to restore what had been lost, heal what had been broken between us and our Creator, our Father, our God. Trust. Trust. Faith is that conduit in the heart that God created in us to receive his indestructible and inexhaustible divine life, his Holy Spirit, and all the goods and delights that come with him. That's what was wrong with us. Not first our bodies. That's why we suffer and die. The problem started in the heart. So that's the very first thing the crucified, resurrected, and living Jesus healed in them, in us. He came to them in his word. He comes to you in his word. In his promise fulfilled, his life fulfilled and overflowing and still at work. In that word, he still works his miracles. He still heals bodies and souls, looses tongues to sing, limbs to dance, embraces children in his love and comfort and family. He forgives sinner, gives us hope, gives us life. That's better than just seeing him. with our hearts still unchanged. He comes to you now to work in your heart so that you would see him. You could see him. He comes, really him, not just his message, but he himself, he who is the Word. First comes believing, then comes seeing. You believe to see. That's why the angel told the women, go tell Jesus' disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. Jesus came to them first in his word, just as he comes to you now. And they received that word and bore that word in their great weakness under the cross that they still bore. They were afraid and told no one at first, but they would. That word, Jesus, would do his work in their hearts. And their hearts changed. Their lives changed. Their future changed. No longer would they just expect familiar death. Now they would have life. Life they intimately knew in Jesus. No longer they carried just spices for embalming a corpse, but healing words for the balm of the soul. Today, Easter Sunday, this day will not be another crushing disappointment, another defeat. It will not be another day of grief and sorrow like so many of we've gotten used to. Death is defeated. Jesus lives and he will live. And he lives to lead us. He goes before you. He went before you into your death to break open the doors on the other side. He in his own body, his own humanity, our humanity, went before you into heaven and into the new creation. He went before you into heaven to bring you before the Father's throne into your heavenly Father's heart. And Jesus himself, in his body, is that first physical piece of that new creation never to be destroyed. That makes the new creation inevitable. The end of evil inevitable. The end of all death inevitable. Your resurrection and life inevitable. Believe it. Receive already that spirit and life of Jesus in his word this day. Receive the living body and blood of Jesus as your feast this day. See where he's laid upon the altar. Hear the proclamation and believe the company that you are in this day. Not just an angel, but all the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Everyone who has died, hoping in Jesus, trusting his Father, full of his Spirit, they are all here now. Unburdened by the cross, yet forever transformed by it. The wounds are healed, but the good remains forever. They live with Jesus, who now lives with you. And they will live again. You will see them. Just as Jesus told you. His word is always true, even if you don't see it yet. You who seek Jesus, you will see him. You must see him, just as he told you. For Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We stand and sing.